109. Homecoming. A grey, cold winter's day awaited them outside. The clouds chasing over the sky lost a few snowflakes in the hurried passage, and the frigid flags hardly contrasted with the white walls of the courtyard. What did contrast with the winter scenery was the company of space marines in deep crimson and golden armor that stood gathered to greet them. On their shoulders they bore the crests of the Wings of War. 6 wings with 3 swords crossed in front of them. It was framed in red. This was 3rd Company. The very same company they had missed on Zenith. None of them wore a helmet or held a weapon, but they were armed for war. Row after row of stern yet curiously soft faces was turned towards them in the stinging air. Following close behind Vox, Titus spotted the captain who stood ahead of her troops. The wind pulled on her tightly bound, long blonde hair, and he thought he saw a smile dawn on her face when she first glimpsed Vox. Titus was taken aback when the captain gave out the command to salute. As it was echoed by her sergeants, she already issued the next. Halting in puzzlement, the Ultramarine watched the whole company drop to one knee to honor the lone figure in black and silver armor striding towards them. Vox, meanwhile, approached them without hesitation. She came to a halt right in front of the captain, who raised her face towards her. "Mistress," the captain exclaimed, "you have returned." Titus looked around at the brothers. Dankwart and Corvin were directly behind him. Even if the others had missed this address, the open reverence for his friend worried him. "So I have," Vox said, and reached a hand down to pull the captain to her feet. "Rise, all of you," she commanded, and threw a glance over her shoulder. When she saw the huddle of uncertain men, an amused grin graced her features. Titus pulled himself together and walked forward, the others following on his heels. As they approached, they heard Vox continue, "It is good to see you, Mariar." Their linked hands formed a coil for a moment, which they slapped with a free hand. The smiles that passed between them over this gesture spoke of true joy to see each other again. Then Vox turned to walk, and around her the courtyard revolved. She waved for the men to follow, who made haste to close the gap on her. The lines of strange Astartes parted for them, but the group of men still was pushed into a tight huddle between them. They were eyed with open curiosity, but nobody stepped into their way or even asked questions. On a very slight gesture of Vox, another squad followed along. It was led by a warrior in so richly decorated armor that she could only be the champion of the company. "Celeste is in the hall," Vox said. It was a statement, not a question. "Sophane?" she asked. "She's brought down from orbit as we speak," Captain Maria reported. "We informed her as soon as we picked up your signal." Vox gave an approving nod. Then she said, "Send out the general order. Every engagement with space marines that haven't been confirmed clearly chaotic by markings or mutations is to be dropped at once. They are to retreat to a defensible position and wait for further instructions. And call Sergeant Sophia on her personal short-range frequency. Tell her that I have returned and that I need her here as soon as possible." "We lost Sergeant Sophia on Zenith almost 3 years ago." "This is a misconception I'm about to correct," Vox declared grimly. "Call her personally, and bring Remora in as secretly as you can. No mortal must know of this, and as few Astartes as you can possibly manage. They are to find me with the priests. Now go." "Yes, mistress." The captain hurried off under the bewildered glances of the men. "Mistress?" they seemed to ask. Titus, meanwhile, had other concerns. He exchanged a worried look with Corvin, who walked beside him. Had they really just heard Vox give out a general order? The situation got more unsettling by the minute. Both of them looked around. The squad of the Wings of War accompanying them matched the numbers of the men, But even though the fighters of the Death Watch were seasoned veterans, Titus very much doubted that they would be able to stand against them if anything went wrong. Erden York had been right. Vox demanded a hell of a leap of faith. Titus felt uneasy that he had not seen the magnitude of it coming. He had never imagined that Vox would walk in here like a saint descending from the heavens. The devotion of the company had positively crystallized in the air, and the captain had heeded her every word like a... well, like a subordinate. Captain Titus swallowed. When Vox addressed him, he almost jumped. "Captain," she asked sweetly, "I must inform you that I will lay down the Black Shield as soon as I can get hold of my Tech Marines. I thought you wanted to use your chance to give me some last orders. I might even heed them," she added with so much sarcastic delight that Titus almost felt offended.
"I don't have orders," he said carefully. "But would you be so kind as to tell me what the captain meant by picking up your signal?" he inquired. "I didn't notice you making contact with your people."
"That's because I didn't," Vox said smugly. "My armor did that for me."
"Do you mean you have a home beacon?"
Tiberius gasped from behind. He had taken his helmet off when he had left the Cornix, and the bafflement in his features was rather disconcerting.
"What's a home beacon?"
Zavo asked.
"It's an artifact that can be put in an armor."
Tabir's explanation was dramatically underlined by his waving third arm.
"It sends a signal to your home fortress when you get close and deactivates all automatic defenses. They are incredibly rare because they have to be integrated into the defense system of the whole fortress, and they overload when the wearer of the armor dies so that no one can get close by taking a high-ranking corpse to the fortress."
"Yes," Vox confirmed easily. "It was what brought us through the planetary defenses as well."
"What? No!"
Tiberius burst out, and the clamp on his third arm spun around itself once.
"Such artifacts don't exist anymore!"
Vox refrained from replying. She just smiled gleefully.
"I never noticed it in your armor,"
the Tech Marine added accusingly when she kept silent. "Of course not," she said amusedly. "The defenses are supposed to know, not you."
"You wore Codice's insignia when we picked you up,"
Tiberius burst out, and this time he waved his real arms. "Yes," she conceded happily, and shot Titus an amused glance. "That was a lie."
"Vox," Titus asked hoarsely, "who are you?"
"Me," his beloved answered with laughing eyes. "I am Vox Draconis, keeper of the law and mistress of secrets of the Wings of War." She grinned when this was met with more puzzlement. "The first is the rank of the highest advocate and counsel in questions of the law for our chapter. And the second is approximately equal to your chief librarians," she explained generously.
"You are what?"
Zavo burst out.
"Mistress,"
Titus finally heard Rogan whisper behind him. He was hushed by Grimfang.
"Most chapters don't even have one,"
the Black Wolf went on to protest. "In the 4,000 years since our founding, I'm only the 30th for us too," Vox told them. "Although I have to admit that I haven't been able to perform my duties until now. The Tarot led me to the Death Watch on the very day of my inauguration." Titus did not dare to look around at the Wings of War accompanying them. He was sure that the men looked like fools to them, and he had no desire to see this in their faces. The fortress was built to be defended, so there was no straight way to the Great Hall, but Vox led them through the tall, echoing corridors with growing vigor in her steps. She seemed to become more and more alive with every mighty white pillar they passed, until she bubbled over with the kind of energy Titus had seen in her when a fight commenced. In front of the big double doors of the Great Hall, two captains awaited them. They bent their knees just as readily as the other women, and only rose on Vox's command. When they were upright again, the Mistress of Secrets honored them with the same familiar greeting she had bestowed on Meriar. While she linked hands with them and called them by name, their heraldry completed the information the men needed for now. These were Captain Anu of 9th and Captain Haldra of 10th Company. Of course, the reserve companies would be present in the fortress. The captains personally opened the door for Vox to reveal that they had by no means come without their warriors. 200 Astartes were waiting for them behind the gate. Like in any fortress built by Space Marines, the banner-lined Great Hall was the vast space where the chapter took meals and underwent feast days. It was the mundane center of life in the fortress, and easily able to accommodate this number of warriors. When Vox entered and walked through the lines, they all dropped to their knees. This time she ignored them. Her gaze was fixed on the one figure who stood up when she came in. In the middle towards the back of the hall stood the massive and surprisingly simple chair of the chapter mistress. It was raised by a single step from the rest of the space and surrounded by the honor guard of the chapter mistress. Their armors gleamed in glorious red and gold. Their raven-beaked helmets were adorned by 6 wings each. Like her guards, the mistress was wearing Mark 6 armor. Magnificent and ornate as it befit the head of an Astartes chapter, and when she stood up, she towered over her chosen 6. Almost as tall as Zavor, she took a few steps towards the newcomers. A cloak in crimson and gold flowed from her shoulders. Her blonde hair was long and oiled back carefully, which made her look quite similar to Commander Faron. 4 scratch marks adorned her noble face. They ran from her left temple to her chin, having missed her mild blue-gray eye by a hair's breadth. As Vox strode towards her, these scars rippled under the dawn of a most joyous smile. And finally the chapter mistress laughed as she reached out her hands to welcome her friend home. Vox's pace quickened yet further, and when the women linked their hands, grasped the coil of their fists with the free hands and touched their foreheads to them, Titus was almost overwhelmed by his jealousy. Never had he seen this most meaningful of gestures filled with so much power and certainty. Now he knew who had written the mantra Vox had taught Vitus Baratheon on Zenith. Her best friend was considerably taller than Vox, and there was something about the women as they greeted each other. The feeling that here, in this time and space, something had just clicked into place. In a universe of eternal, unforgiving war, that eroded the soul of a warrior until corruption crept on and took fighter after fighter down, a crack in the shield of humanity had just been mended. An invincible force to push back the boundaries of mankind had found together again. These two could move the galaxy. They certainly moved the Jericho Reach. Vox, the mistress exclaimed, and the delight to see her long-lost friend again radiated from her honest smile. At last you're back! But what are these colors supposed to mean? Whom have you brought with you? And why do they stand at your side instead of our sisters?
Sisters?
Titus heard someone gasp behind him, followed by an indistinct reply. He was a little surprised. It had taken him far longer to come to terms with these facts after all. As long as they just asked the same questions over and over again, he saw no problem. Meanwhile, the chapter mistress eyed the man with a mixture of curiosity and doubtful interest. Celeste, Vox said, turning around to them again and finally waving a hand for the assembled warriors to stand up. The path I have walked led me to the Death Watch. As history tells us, it is a noble endeavor to join the ranks of the Ordo Xenos. And this is what I have done. Now, meet my brothers of the Death Watch. Vox earned a raised eyebrow for the word brothers, but Celeste withheld comments. Instead, she listened attentively while the curious visitors were introduced to her. Vox radiated confidence and generous power while she spoke, but there was something about her. A tension that was about to spring loose.
It worried Titus to the bone.
I greet you, warriors of the Death Watch, the chapter mistress addressed them when Vox had finished. I am Celeste of Jericho Keep, chapter mistress of the Wings of War. It is my pleasure to meet you in the company you arrived in.
We thank you, mistress,
Titus answered for all of them, scraping as much of his manners together as he could find.
Our path was well worth walking to meet you here.
Vox, Celeste asked after a benevolent nod towards him, what are your plans now?
I will tell you in a moment, Vox promised.
First, may I suggest a guide for each of our guests so that they may walk freely in our domain?
Granted, Celeste approved without hesitation. Anyone special? She inquired.
I want Mariar for Captain Titus as soon as she's back from the Endeavour I sent her on, and Codice Helena for Epistolary Corvin. Vox waggled her eyebrows at Corvin, who gave her a look. Curia, you take Sergeant Grimfang for now, she ordered the champion. Sort the rest out. Each shall have a guide according to his rank and specialty.
Yes, mistress, the champion confirmed, and made the sign of the Aquila to Vox in salute.
See to it that our guests are well treated, and find an athecium for Ignatius, the mistress of secrets, added before she turned to the delegation of the Death Watch. Brothers, she addressed them, and never had this word declared more distance between them. Your guides will accompany you on your way. They will answer your questions, so feel free if you have any. During your stay here, you will discover that we have certain rules you are not used to, and I must warn you about one of them. Should you find yourself disagreeing with another Space Marine, both of you are entitled to speak the challenge to dispute. This is an open event, and a few duties are suspended for this so that as many as possible may attend it. If your dissent cannot be settled satisfactorily during this dispute, each of you may challenge his or her opponent to a duel. This is usually fought to first blood, but can, if one of the combatants wishes it, be extended to a duel to the death. I invite you, therefore, to think about how far you want to push any point. She smiled. I also wish to remind you that, here, you are the deviants. Apart from this, you have freedom of movement wherever your guide is allowed to go. May the Emperor watch over you, brothers. We will hopefully meet later. She nodded at them before she and Celeste turned and left towards the back of the hall. The honor guard followed on their heels. Titus stared after them.
What just happened?
Of course, it was Zavor who asked the obvious question.
Damned if I know,
Corvin growled. They all looked around. The 10 of them surrounded by 210 Space Marines in crimson and gold. Titus had seen none of this coming. In his utter confusion, he had trouble focusing on the saluting champion who had stepped up to him. Curia introduced herself again and inquired politely about the specialties of all of them. She paired a few of the brothers with warriors she had with her and took Grimfang under her own wing. The captains of 9th and 10th courteously stayed in the background. By choosing Curia to sort out the guides, Vox had made it quite clear that she wished them to be chosen from 3rd Company. Titus was sure that this was a way to honor them. The Space Marines in the reserve companies were fully trained Astartes, but apart from the sergeants and captains, they were young and inexperienced. By choosing 3rd, Vox had made sure that the brothers of the Death Watch had battle-hardened equals as their counterparts. Titus was impressed at how stoically the two present captains bore her choice. They could easily have taken this as defamation. Instead, they parted with a few polite words to the visitors and led their companies back to training. Curia, meanwhile, had contacted a few people, her captain among them. Now she led the men out of the hall,
From here on, everything went so smoothly that Titus felt unable to cope with it. The champion hardly explained anything to the warriors she had called to meet them. Third had watched the men arrive together with the Mistress of Secrets, and this alone seemed to make them honored, albeit curious, guests instead of abominations to be fought. As he almost staggered through the fortress, Titus finally understood why Vox had been on the brink of self-destruction several times. Coming to the Death Watch had been a fall for her far harder than his own. Being detested and taunted as openly as she had described it, scorned and humiliated, forced to humble herself before men junior to her, like himself. He was very uncomfortable with this thought.